We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
A Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network. Let's talk Michigan football. Welcome to this week's edition of the Inside Michigan Football Radio Show. Over the next hour, we're discussing the latest around Wolverines football and hearing from players and coaches. Now, here's your host, John Jansen.
Michigan had another decisive victory on Saturday, this time over the Northern Illinois Huskies by a score of 63-10. Michigan found the end zone on 9 of its first 9 possessions, 8 of those via the ground attack as they continued to road grade their opponents. Blake Corum led the charge with 3 touchdowns. Hassan Haskins and freshman Donovan Edwards had 2 apiece. Cade McNamara also got in on the rushing attack and found the end zone on a quarterback sneak early in the game. Cornelius Johnson scored on Michigan's longest play from scrimmage this year, an 87-yard strike from Cade McNamara. All in all, the offense racked up 606 yards of offense, adding another 373 on the ground, bringing their total rushing yardage after 3 games to 1,051 yards. The Michigan defense has been stifling opponents, and this week they only allowed 10 points. Northern Illinois converted only 1 of 13 third down conversions, and the only drive of significance ended in a field goal in the first quarter. They forced 5 3 and out series and got their first interception of the season, and that was had by Jamon Green in the third quarter, which he returned 27 yards to the NIU 3-yard line. Later on in the show, Michigan defensive backs coach and passing game coordinator Steve Klinkscale is going to join us, along with senior safety Brad Hawkins. But up next, the head coach of the 3-0 Michigan Wolverines, Jim Harbaugh, will be joining us. You're listening to Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football, and as promised, we're joined by the head coach here at Michigan Football, and Jim Harbaugh. Coach, thanks for joining us, and just a quick recap of your thoughts on Saturday's 63-10 victory over Northern Illinois.
Well, super happy about it. Super pleased. The way the players are playing with great emotion, energy, all out, playing hard.
You know, it was another obviously huge offensive production. Another great job by the running game. Let's just talk a little bit about that offensive line. I saw Chuck Filiaga got in there again and appeared to have a good game. Your just evaluation of where this offensive line is, and the fact that we've seen a number of guys in the middle of that offensive line come in, and it's kind of been interchangeable parts.
Yeah, the second line got in the game and really played well as well. It was super encouraging. About 106 players played in the game, and they all played well. They all did their job, knew what they were doing. And, credit to their coaches, credit to them for being so locked in and engaged. But offensive line, Chuck played extremely well. I mean, he is a starter along with Keegan and Vistardis and Hayes. And speaking of Hayes, I thought he had the best game of anybody on the offensive line. Had some great blocks. The other thing that's been really great to see is the way the offensive line pursues down the field. Mm-hmm. Some of the touchdown blocks are occurring at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 yards even downfield. So a lot of really encouraging things. Want to keep that up.
And one of the things that I have noticed is, the Studio of Champions has now moved down to the first floor here, and I watched these guys go by, and Chuck stopped in earlier today. They've done, to the man, an unbelievable job of changing their bodies. They look completely different than they did last year. What have you seen in the way that they've worked throughout the summer and throughout fall camp?
Well, we said that, talked about it, the offseason was really good to a lot of guys. There's winter, spring, summer, and fall, but off season is really not one of them. But the winter cycle, summer cycle, as a team, thought it was tremendous, and that's half the battle. We talked about that. Now to see him, putting that strength, that conditioning, out there in the field on Saturday afternoons is very impressive.
Blake Corum has now had three games over 100 yards rushing. We've seen him be able to catch the ball. We know what he can do in the return game. How creative offensively can you be with a player like Blake and compared with another running back in Hassan in the backfield?
Yeah, both of them are able to make guys miss on the second level and third level, the linebacker level, the safety level. I mean, they're tough to tackle. Mm-hmm. Whether they're, they're so strong. I mean, guys try to take them above the waist, and they're able to shed off some of those runs and run through soft shoulders. And they're trying to go for their knees and their ankles, diving them. They're getting really good at stepping out of those, keeping the knees high, and avoiding a lot of those tackles. So, that's something I think you're just born with. You come out of the crib being able to do, but they're really good at it. Great to see Donovan Edwards as well, in the mix. And
a couple touchdowns.
Two touchdowns. Got his first one, then he got a second one.
So speaking about the running backs and, its skill positions, the wide receivers, you've used A.J. Henning in a number of different ways. The development of the wide receivers, some deep shots down the field as well. Your evaluation of how they're continuing to grow as a unit.
Yeah, I thought Cornelius Johnson had a heck of a game. He was one of our players of the game. Had over 100 yards catching, including the 87-yard touchdown pass. Great route, great throw, and finished it off in the end zone. But he ran a heck of a post where he was behind the defense, and we overthrew it a little bit. But and then there was another one, a 50-50 ball that could have been called for pass interference, but wasn't. And another catch where he made the defender miss. And I thought he played really well. So, and A.J. Henning has really come on the scene, special teams player of the week for the great job he did in the punt return game. And seemed like about every drive in the game, especially early, he was getting us across midfield, whether it was the punt return or the reverse or the fly sweep. One went for 26, one went for 24, and, he was really you know, accounting for a lot of those yards on those early drives.
You mentioned last week the average starting field position compared to your opponents is.
Yeah, I didn't check it this week, but it had to be pretty darn good.
Yeah,
you start at the 3 yard line, courtesy of a Jamon Green interception, his first of his career. That was awesome. A lot of things went right.
They certainly did, and you know, when you mentioned the pass that was just a little bit overthrown to Cornelius on that post route, when you go back and look at it, and you talk to him, you talk to Cade. What's the coaching point on that? Is it as simple as, hey, just be accurate, or is it put some loft on the ball? What are you trying to do to make it that is a connection next time?
Yeah, I think one thing that can be done is, you know, getting the eyes on the ball, getting the, you know, when you look back for the ball compared to when the ball's thrown, mm-hmm. Being able to track it. And I know, when you clear the man, you know, space, and you got a stride. That's a great time to look for the ball, and then can track it that way. But yeah, I think there was a little bit, also just a little bit overthrown.
Were there still some things out there that you know, as you said, we've talked about this before. You never play a perfect game. That you would like to see offensively this team do better.
You know, they could do what we did on Saturday every week. That'd be a heck of a thing. We had one of those days where, you know, everybody executing, doing their job. Very, very, very few missed assignments. I mean, can really, really tell when guys are doing their job and doing it well that you know, there's great results. But if they could just keep playing as hard as they can, the way they have been doing on all sides of the ball, you know, there's ways to improve. But good things happen when you play hard.
Yeah, and Josh Gattis.
And have fun. I mean, that's the other thing, too. I mean, these guys are having fun. I can see it in their eyes. Games especially, but practice as well. I mean, you know, it's a tremendous vibe.
Is that something that is just – is that senior leadership? How does that come about? Because you and I both played. We had days where we had lots of fun. We had days where it wasn't so much fun. But how is it that you're able to generate this this year for this team?
I think it's got to be all natural. You know, it's got to be it's got to come from everybody, coaches, players, mm-hmm. you know, guys that that really like football, and then they gel. You get that chemistry, and you know, also guys that are, you know, unselfish, playing for each other. I mean, that's always a huge key. It's something that I don't think you can just manufacture.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be all natural.
Mm-hmm. And success obviously helps with that as well. And I was talking to, as I was going to mention, Josh Gattis earlier, and he talked about how the run has really opened up so many things for this offense. What does being successful at the run, in your opinion, what does it allow this offense to be able to do?
Well, it starts with receivers getting one-on-one coverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no cloud coverage and safeties over the top. You know, just can't afford to do that when you're trying to get more bodies into the paint. You know, down close to the line of scrimmage. So there's no question. Receivers, quarterbacks, they benefit greatly from an effective running game.
Well, we'll get a chance to talk about the defense. I want to hear a little bit more about that interception by Jamon Green, taking it down to the 3 yard line when we come back. This is Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. Welcome back to Inside Michigan Football. We had a chance to talk some offense. Now we're going to get a chance to talk a little bit about that defense. And one of the highlights, of the many highlights for this defense, was the interception by Jamon Green, taking it back 27 yards down to the 3. How good did it feel on the sidelines to see one of the defensive backs finally reel one of those in?
It was great, you know, to get the turnover. We've been doing a great job not turning the ball over offensively, and you know, you just got to get that first one. You got to get that first turnover and first interception. It's like the old pickle jar, you know. I mean, those pickles are in there so tight, they're packed in there. When you open up a new jar and turn it over with the top open, I mean, nothing comes out.
Yeah.
But if you can just get one of those to come out, then they all start plopping out. So, you know, the hope that you know, the hope is that, you know, now we got the first one and we start to get a bunch more. But great to see Jamon get that interception off the tip, and then he looked like he was really smelling the goal line, you know, and did everything he could to get that ball into the end zone. That was great to see. Great field position was set up. It's that's good.
So you mentioned that A.J. Henning was one of the special teams players of the game, and Cornelius Johnson, one of the offensive players of the game. Who stood out on defense last Saturday?
We had two players of the game, Jamon Green, who we talked about, and also Chris Hinton. Chris Hinton played extremely well. Had some tackles and things like that, but just overall, a lot of snaps and played extremely good in the middle.
I think there were, it was 53 or 55 offensive plays. And one of the things, as I pore over the stats, is I think there were 31 solo tackles. Everything else was gang tackle. Is that one of the things that makes this defense so special, is pursuit? And it's not just one guy that's at the ball, but sometimes when you turn on the film, it looks like there's 10 or 11 guys that are in the picture.
Yeah, that's everybody. Everybody doing their leverage, you know, and then once you see the ball, you know, moving to a direction, I mean, everybody's running, everybody's up. I mean, nobody's on the ground. Everybody is pursuing. You know, that's a signature for any defense. It's good.
Only 46 yards allowed through the air. Last year, there was a lot of question marks about this secondary. What have you seen? It's basically the same guys, and they're playing at a much different level. What have you seen from them?
Yeah, I see a real improvement with Jamon and DJ Turner, Vince Gray. Great consistent play from Dax Hill again. Mm-hmm. He continues. And then the safeties. Brad Hawkins is playing extremely well. We got to get him on the jugs machine. He he had a chance for an interception as well. And R.J. Moten playing real good, you know, making you know, in his first games he's played in. So still very young, but picking it up fast.
And Josh Ross seems to be all over the place. The linebackers, we've seen a number of them step up. Your thoughts on that position group?
Yeah, Josh is playing as good as any linebacker has played here, in my opinion. He is all over the field. He is he's in the pass drops. He's in the blitzing. I mean, he's just playing so good, so hard. Gets in some bad positions. You know, he had a blocker had him right in his sights and had the angle on him, guard. You know, he was, and you could see it. This is going to be good. And then he found a way to slither through, get around, get into the tackle. Back was able to bleed out a couple yards. But, you know, if he didn't, then that ball would have got to the safeties.
I think one of the things, and you've mentioned it last week, with the fact that Aiden Hutchinson had 2.5 sacks. He had 4 sacks a week ago against Washington. Are you finding that teams are paying so close attention to protecting their quarterback because of the pressure you've been able to apply with those front four and even with the linebackers, that it really allows the defense to be aggressive, especially on the back end?
I don't know about that. I just think that was Northern Illinois' plan to run, and they were successful, especially running the quarterback. And we got to do a better job of, you know, doing our assignments. We let the quarterback get out 2 times on zone reads, at least. So you know, there's things to improve there, but I think that's their plan at Northern Illinois. I think they want to be that's the kind of team they want to be. I mean. That's what they told us.
And yeah.
After the game, you know, and I think that'll they'll fare well in the MAC. How about Western Michigan?
Yeah,
that was a heck of a win they had too.
So, yeah, over Pitt there.
And a heck of a team this week. Rutgers is really good. They're much improved. I think we're improved from last year, and they're improved from last year too. So. I think it'll be a heck of a ball game.
I think it will be as well. And obviously, you know, with finishing up with Northern Illinois, the non-conference schedule is done. You already mentioned Rutgers is coming up, the Big Ten schedule. Does the way that you play, the way that this team plays right now, being that physical run the ball, being able to stop the run on defense, does that bode well for your team as you enter Big Ten play?
Well, we're about to find out, that's for sure. but you know, we're still an offense that wants to take what the defense gives us and you know, create that you know, with a good running game, with great pass protection and play action pass, and you know, you've seen reverses. You know, there's a lot of things that I think a defense has to prepare for against our team. And if we can stay on track, we can keep it going. We can keep improving every single week. I mean, that's the objective, and win.
Yeah, Greg Schiano, obviously now the coach in his second year there at Rutgers. What do you expect from a Greg Schiano coach team?
Well, the first thing is the special teams is so good. You know, this is going to be the best we played and may play all year. You know, there is. If it looks like something, it's not. I mean, they are constantly trying to give you a look, and you know, it's a mirror, it's a smoke. They got something up their sleeves. There'll be throwbacks off the kickoff. There'll be fake punts. There'll be onside surprise kicks, and they got returners that are that dynamic. I think holds the record in college football. I think 9 touchdowns between the two returners. Never seen anything like it. And you know, number 2 is tremendous. We have got to we're gonna cover kicks. We gotta cover punts. We gotta cover kicks this week. And you know, right now that's a huge focus.
What are you expecting from the Rutgers offense?
You know, they're very both offensively, defensively. I think they're very very similar to last year. I mean, they got a great back. They got a great receiver. They got a quarterback that we know is really good. You know, it's a run and pass, mm-hmm. you know, type of offense with a quarterback that's mobile, and you know, defensively, their schemes are you know, very good. 2 high, 1 high, blitz again. I mean, they got they'll disguise. They'll do it very well.
Before we let you go, Coach, how do you keep the guys, you know, after they're starting to get some pats on the back, offensively, defensively, special teams has been very good, all 3 phases, and you're starting to hear things throughout the media, throughout coaching circles, where, hey, we need to keep an eye on Michigan. They're playing really well. How do you keep your players focused on the task at hand and not get lost in either, you know, the detractors or those that are patting them on the back?
Well, I can just tell you, I mean, you probably heard it from some of our players already. I mean, I've heard them talk about we've done nothing yet. And, you know, I don't see anybody around here trying to take a deep, long bow at mm-hmm. all. And, you know, quite the opposite. They feel like they want to get back to work and have that same feeling that they had last week. And like I said, I think we all have that feeling, you know, gratitude for having this opportunity, and let's all go try to make the most of it.
Well, appreciate it, Coach, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Inside Michigan Football from Learfield.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Coach Steve Klinkscale is going to join us in just a few moments, but a few programming notes. We did just get notified that this weekend's game, the official kick time is 3:36 this Saturday against the Rutgers Scarlet Knights. A possible 5 minutes live, which means it could be 3:41 as well. And if you want more information about Michigan athletics, make sure you go to MGO Blue Podcast. On Tuesday's edition, tomorrow, will be incoming freshman guard Kobe Bufkin on the Defend the Block, hosted by Brian Bush. Thursday's Conquering Heroes with Simone Vasquez of Michigan Men's Soccer. And we are honoring the Hispanic Heritage Month. Friday, the keys to the game, locker room speech. I know I didn't have one last week, but I've been saving up for the Big Ten schedule. That will be back on Friday and Saturday as well. The post-game edition of In the Trenches, where Brian and I get a chance to talk to some former some players of the game, coaches sound. That'll be wrapped up for you after that game finished. But I am now joined by Michigan's defensive backs coach, Steve Klinkscale. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. And I'm doing all right because Michigan is 3-0. I know that you are coach of the defensive backs, passing game coordinator as well, but it's got to feel good to see this defense as a whole, this team as a whole, play well.
Most certainly. I think all summer, you know, coach just really got us all to understand that, you know, it's a new year. You know, let's go out there together, put everything else behind us, and let's work hard to get what we want and what we want to accomplish. And the kids have really worked hard. They've grinded it out. They've been physical. They've been paying attention to detail. And I think it's all starting to come together. We still got a lot of work to do, though.
You joined us a little bit late, later than normal. We came in after spring ball. What have you learned throughout your time here, throughout the summer, obviously fall camp, and through three games about your guys, your group in the defensive backfield?
Well, the number one thing I learned, like even when I first met all the guys, is they all want better for themselves. They look inward. They wanted to have different goals. They wanted to get better. Because the first thing I did before I even taught football to them is I sent them a text and said, send me a couple things you think you do well, and then two or three things you don't do well, and let's try to find ways to improve on those. And every last one of them sent it that day. You know, I didn't have to wait. Nobody procrastinated. And then when we got started talking about ball, that's all they wanted to do. They just wanted to learn. They wanted to take it in. It was a different perspective for them. And I think, you know, that's the number one thing I take away from that group is they're hard-nosed kids, but they really want to learn the game of football. And they love it. You know, they love football, you know, and that's one of the things, one of the qualities we forget about. You get all these guys that are great athletes and they can do this, that, and the third, but their heart's not in it. And to play at this level and any other level, you know, you've got to have heart to play the game. You got to love the game. You got to love all the ups and downs, all the good and bad that comes with it. And our players have definitely been through some hard times. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, for them to be in the situation they're in now, they're okay with, but they're not satisfied.
How did those texts that you received, the things they did well, things that they want to improve upon, match up with what you saw on film? Because I've been in that situation where a coach has said, hey, send me a couple of things where you think you do well, you don't do well. And what I thought I did well wasn't the same thing my coach thought.
Well, you know, I'll give you an example because sort of the reason why I did it, I was watching film and I was watching Jamon in spring ball kind of get lined up and not be, like, ready, you know. And I like urgency. You have to get lined up. You have to be urgent. You have to see what's going on in front of you, have a plan of attack. So, you know, it was like, you know what, I need to – before I start talking football, they need to understand who I am. Before I do that, they understand what they're about. And so when I sent that text out, it was funny because Jamon, he sent his right back. And the number one thing he wanted to work on was just locking in, being more urgent. I had not even talked to him about it. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? They understand. They understand how to self-evaluate. And if you can do that, you know, then you can teach people and you can coach them. And so they've been very coachable. And, you know, but, yeah, that was one of the things I was surprised when I was going to get back. But, like, they were on point. Like, a lot of them for a lot of things that I could observe off of film without meeting them. They were dead on about what they need to improve, and that was awesome.
How were you able to take some of those things? You mentioned Jamon Green, and by the way, great interception, first one of the year, first of his career. But to be able to formulate a plan for each individual guy to say, all right, today, not only, I mean, I can't just focus on one guy, but you want to be able to focus on what those guys know they need, what you think they need, and put together that plan.
All right. Well, you know, number one thing I talk to all the guys about is, you know, eliminate distractions. Like, we all have goals here. I want to teach you guys how to be better men, you know, how to be better football players, you know, just how to encourage each other, how to learn and grow. And, you know, if we can eliminate the distractions, like doing things the right way, go to class, be on time. Don't have me sidetracked. Don't have your teammates sidetracked because we're not staying on task. And then everything else will come the way it needs to. We'll start to get interceptions. Like, people don't think it's important, but there's a direct correlation between guys that aren't going to class and being late and not doing things right. Their locker is a mess. Their room's a mess. Like, and then they get out on the field. Well, guess what? When it hits the fan, they become a mess. They're not all together. So, like I tell them, you know, when you come and play for me, I'm gonna teach you football. I'm gonna coach you up in life. So, because I think everything plays a part. So, you know, I just tell them all, like, my number one thing is eliminate distractions. Let's go out here and do the right thing so we can focus on winning or getting better as players or people, as coaches. And they took to that.
Well, it's all about habits, right? I mean, yes. The way you get out of bed in the morning, you make your bed.
100%.
People think that's – I get made fun of all the time for that when I talk about it. But it's about habits. What you do on a minute-by-minute basis is going to carry over from your personal life to your student life or professional life. And one of the things I've noticed about this group, especially from week one to week three, it seems like a rare occasion that there's the same mistake is made twice. How have these guys taken to watching film and continue to improve, not just in the summer and in fall camp, but in the season as it's going on?
Well, they're doing a great job with that, actually. You know, I'll walk by sometimes, and they'll be in there as a, you know, secondary and the linebackers, and they'll hold back in, and sometimes the backers with the front end. They take pride in doing things the right way. They take pride in taking the coaching. And what we do is we type in the information, the different comments, so they can watch it here together or they can watch it at home. But, you know, like I tell them all the time, I prefer you learning how to do things as a group. The more you're sitting in there with your teammates, the guys you're playing with, linebackers, DBs, D-line, everybody, outside linebackers, the more you have a better understanding of where your help is, what you're doing to help that person. And, you know, I think that's really been, you know, advantage that the guys have been taking. And so I think it's definitely been, you know, impressive, actually, to see that. I told those guys, you know, I kind of got on them 2 weeks ago on a Thursday. I usually try to be positive, but the point you brought up about mistakes, like, I tell them all the time, like, I can fix the mistake, right? We can work on a mistake. But to do the same thing wrong over and over and over, that's not a mistake. That's your habit. You're purposely not buying in. You're not adjusting the way you need to adjust. Like, you have to take ownership. You have to take ownership in this defense and who you are and what you want, what the outcome is. And, you know, and again, it goes back to the habits. You know, I go back and who's watching film, who's passing the quizzes, who's, you know, like, who's doing all the things, who's staying after and on their own and working on something for 2-3 minutes. Like, that's all it takes. But the more you build that into your daily lifestyle, the more you excel on the field. And I see them do that constantly.
Who have been some of the guys in your group that have just stepped up to do what you're talking about, to get not just the safeties or the corners or the defensive backs, but also to get the linemen and the linebackers all involved? Who are some of the leaders in your secondary, Ben, that have stepped up?
Brad, without a question. Brad's done a great job with getting the entire group together. You know, some of the corners, like Vincent and Jamon, I've seen, you know, those habits. DJ, those guys have changed. They're constantly in there with Brad watching film, but without a doubt, Brad has done it. And, of course, RJ and Dax, they're all in there together. But Brad is the one, you know, I see, you know, some of the texts he sends out. Hey, I'm going to be here. Hey, I'm going to be here. Hey, I'm going to be here. You know, you guys come, anybody And like that's what you need. You know, you need a leader, within the team, you know, in that group. You know, I can lead as much as I want. And there's some teams that you have to show them how to be leaders as a coach. You got to show them how to practice. You know, you got to show them how to have enthusiasm. You know, there's some kids that's just not their nature. And but here, you know, the guys have done a really good job of following Brad's leadership and learning how to become better players mindset-wise in the playbook.
I want to talk to you about some more of your guys. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation with Michigan defensive backs coach Steve Klinkscale. You're listening to Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. I'm joined again by Steve Klinkscale, Michigan's defensive backs coach. And you're not alone in coaching the defensive backs. Ron Bellamy is back there with you. How has that relationship grown? Did you guys know each other before you came to Ann Arbor?
Yes, I knew Ron from recruiting his high school, actually. Yeah. He became a really good friend of mine from coming up here and recruiting constantly. You know, he's a really good evaluator, a talent. And so we built a relationship. And so actually when he took the job, he accepted the job back in January, I believe it was. I reached out to him and told him, hey, in the summertime, we got to get together. Like, I know he came as a receiver. And then when it changed, he came over to defensive backs. I said, I'll get with you. Anything I know, I'll tell you. Anything I can help you with. And then a few months later, we ended up working together. So
it's a small world.
Small world. Yeah, yeah. But Ron's a great guy, and he's great with the players. He does a really good job. He's really taking pride in continuing to learn at the secondary, which is, you know, challenging to him because it was completely different than being on the offense.
Yeah. And we were talking at the break, and I know that the defensive backfields that you've been a part of has always – one of the traits is that they've been able to get interceptions. They've been able to turn the ball over. What did it mean for this group in terms of confidence just to finally have that one that Jamon Green had this past weekend? But how do you coach these guys to be ball hawks?
Well, I tell them all the time, you have to do it at practice. You know, we're going against our look team or we're going against our offense – we have to go get the ball. We can't continue. The one thing I noticed when I first arrived is we let the ball come down. We have to go attack it. And, you know, so we worked on that constantly, attacking and getting a good foot, good position. And then confidence. You know, confidence is a big part of these guys going in after the ball. Of course, you know, like you said, you know, we just had one. I think we've dropped a few, you know, about six or seven. But we're constantly working on it. You know, we are hitting the jugs machine. We are trying to get the guys extra work. You know, we even get the quarterbacks after practice. The quarterbacks will work with them. I leave the field and they'll throw a couple deep balls to them. You know, so they can learn how to track the ball and they get a different spin off of their hand than mine. You know, I got a little pea shooter. You know, so you know we're constantly working on it. But I think having, you know, breaking that kind of just like, oh, that breakthrough, we got one, let's continue to go for more. And I think with our defense, the way we play it, the way Coach McDonald calls it, we'll end up, you know, starting to create more of that momentum, getting takeaways.
Dax Hill has been around for a few years now, and we've all heard coaches talk for a number of years about his, you know, man coverage skills and his ability to play in that defensive backfield. When you look at Dax Hill, what type of potential do you see for him?
To be honest, he's a freak athlete. Like he has tool set that you don't really have at that safety spot. Even at the corner spot, he's really long. You know, he's very quick, very sudden, athletic. He's powerful. He's strong. He can track the ball. You know, he's really versatile. I think the thing with Dax is we just can't overload him. You know, I think he can play a lot of different positions, and we're doing a good job of moving him around and getting him access, blitzing him, covering him man-to-man. He had a big play in the game, the first third down, playing man on their best receiver. He's very, very talented, and I think learning a new scheme has really helped him. And I think each game will continue to build off of his skill set. But he's a remarkable player, and I love being around him. He's a funny guy. You know, like all I heard is how quiet he was, how quiet he is. He's not quiet, you know, anymore. He's always joking. He's got a little smart aleck mouth, so he says some things sometimes. I'm like, who are you talking to? You know, but no, I really enjoy coaching him and being around him. And Like I said, he's constantly up here in the office, you know, want to just watch some ball and talk ball. He loves it.
Yeah, and, you know, I've had the same experience where a lot of these guys, it seems different this year. And I know it's only three games, and coach says, hey, we're not buying into all of this stuff yet. But do you notice guys walking around from the moment you got here to now with a different confidence? And, you know, some may call it swagger, and it has nothing to do with the wins. It's just at practice, when they're walking by here, when they run out on the field, it's a different confidence.
You know what? I don't know if that's what it is. When I first arrived, I still see it. I think it's just determination and drive. You know, they love the game. They love football. Coaches spice it up for them to, you know, kind of fall back in love with football. And, yeah, there's you know, everybody thinks it's confidence or we feel like, hey, we're getting better. This, you know, we humble them quite a bit. You know, it's not about being arrogant or thinking that we've arrived. We know, and the players know, we're not even close to where we want to be. But I think it's just that determination, and it's that work ethic, that you know, that blue collar, come to work every day, I'm gonna give it everything I got, and if I work hard and I put more hours into it and I put more time and I dedicate myself more and I change my habits, like we talked about earlier, that we'll get the results. That's more what I see and what I feel. Then kids would just, oh, I'm just so confident. Are we going to win? They know. They all keep saying after we won last on Saturday, hey, all right, now it's a Big Ten time. Now it's time to go. So let's go.
Coach, I think we only got about 30 seconds left. But as you continue to look at these players, and we've talked about Brad and Jamon and Dax, is there any of the young guys that you see that have really come along that it's just they're just waiting for their opportunity and you're excited about?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited about DJ. I know he's not young, but he's finally got his opportunity, and I think he's starting to take advantage of it. Jaden McBurrows is another one, and so is Rod Moore. Those two freshmen, true freshmen, I think you continue to see more and more of them on defense and definitely on special teams. I think they've done a really good job of trying to take advantage of opportunities and take that step forward to show us their talent. So. Yeah, I'm excited about all the guys, you know, and we all just got to continue to work hard, and we're all in together. They know I love them, and they got my back, and I got theirs.
Well, Coach, I appreciate it. Steve Klingscale, Michigan's defensive backs coach. Best of luck as you prepare for the Big Ten season.
Thank you. Go Blue.
We'll be back as Brad Hawkins is going to join us on the hotline. You've been listening to Inside Michigan Football from Learfield. We're going to head out on the hotline for our final guest today, and that's super senior Brad Hawkins. Brad, thanks for joining us. And we just heard from Steve Klingscale, your coach, that you've been the guy to step up in the backfield. You've been the leader. What's been the difference for you and the defensive backs this year?
You know, just holding the guys to a high standard, you know, just communicating with the guys, getting to know everybody. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. We all going through different things and, you know, just building that relationship with the guys and, you know, just, you know, having that time together with the guys, you know, and just being the leader and just, you know, setting that example for the guys and, you know, you're just going to continue, you know, to grow as a unit and then you continue to get better every single day.
Brad, how is it that you've got three samples so far? You've got the Western game, obviously Washington, and now NIU. As you lead into the Big Ten season, what is it that you want to continue to improve on as an individual?
Just my communication, you know, with the back seven. Continue to, you know, make plays and, you know, continue to, though, you know, be a leader, you know. You know, there's always room for improvement and leadership. Always room for improvement and, you know, making plays and, you know, just doing things that, you know, the coaches is asking you to do and just continue to learn, you know, from these wonderful coaches and these smart coaches and just continue to just grind every single day and just, you know, be the best person that I can be.
How good was it of a feeling to see Jamon Green get that first interception, get that first turnover for the defensive backs?
That was awesome, and, you know, that was a starting point, you know, for all of us. You know, we got one now, and, you know, we're just going to continue to, you know, get more, you know, continue fly around to the ball. He's playing well. We're all going to continue to play well. You know, we feed off each other's energy. So, that was great for him and, great for, this defense in the back end, to get that, first interception.
The non-conference schedule is done. You start the Big Ten schedule this week with Rutgers. How is Big Ten football different from some of the non-conference games that we had?
You're familiar with the Big Ten teams. You've been playing them every single year. Some of these non-conference games, most of them, you play different ones every single year. So, coming into Big Ten play, is definitely very, very important. It's different. The skill level is a little bit different. The preparation is a little bit different. So, you just got to continue, to just grow, just be us, and we'll be fine.
I know it's still early in the week, but what's the early film study tell you about this Rutgers team?
They're a great team. They're a physical team. They're not going to lay down. They're going to come out there on Saturday. They're going to play hard. They're going to play physical. They're going to try to dominate the game. They have great coaches over there. They have great players over there. But if we continue, just to play the way that we are capable of playing, continue to grow, we'll be fine. But that's a great team coming in here on Saturday, and, we can't get complacent. And, we just got to go out there, and just dominate.
Brad, I appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the field on Saturday.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Brad Hawkins, Michigan's super senior in the defensive backfield, will be back in just a moment to tie a bow on the show. You've been listening to Inside Michigan Football from Learfield.
Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Inside Michigan Football. If you missed any of tonight's show, check out the replay on MGo Blue Podcasts. Subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Michigan Sports Network.